Tucson, good morning to you. Happy Thursday here of a fast-moving week. My goodness, it just keeps getting faster and faster. It is May the 14th here. Welcome to the 1030 The Voice Studios. I'm your host, Zach Yensa. You're listening to Tipping Point, daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Today's show is one that I look forward to. It only happens once every couple of months, but I always look forward to it. It's my 1 hour all the way through conversation with the Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility Director, Diana Alarcon. We talk everything transportation and infrastructure within the city of Tucson limits. And it's so funny because I have friends who work in transportation and so on and so forth throughout the city, and they go, no one wants to talk about transportation. I'm like, you guys, this is the sexiest topic in town right now. Everybody wants to talk about, how do we fix our roads? How do we plan for the future? How do we fund transportation? And now in COVID-19, what is that impact on all of this, especially as we had City Manager Michael Ortega on about a week and a half ago saying he's asking all department directors like Diana Alarcon to talk about what a 15% cut in department budget and funding looks like. And so we're going to talk all that today. We're going to talk how pandemic affects projects, fiscal budgets for the next year, Move Tucson, the mobility master plan that the city is working on and is talking to Tucsonans about right now, Proposition 101 and 407 and more. And here's the best part, 790-2040 is your Liveline opportunity to jump on and ask a question. One of the fun features of this hour, every other month or so with Diana, is that Diana usually has someone taking notes. And so if Diana doesn't have the answer to your question or your thought, she's logging it and following up on it. And this is just one of my favorite shows of every month here on Tipping Point. Without further ado, let's jump into it. Diana, it's good to see you on the line. I hope you're healthy and safe, and thanks for spending some time with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope everybody is doing healthy and safe as well. It's nice that we're coming off of this pandemic. You know, we were recognized in Forbes magazine as one of the best cities that has weathered this pandemic. So, you know, kudos to our community and to all of those folks out there that worked so hard to make sure that we kept as many people safe as possible during this time.
Yeah, and Diana, I think that I certainly hope that there's a silver, probably silver line is not the word I'm looking for, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're all debating how long is the tunnel, Diana, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. We know that. some think we're a few meters from it, and some think we're a few months from it, but there is light, and there is an end to this tunnel, correct?
Correct. There is an end to this tunnel, and, you know, I apologize, I was a little bit tardy, but, you know, I was putting out a fire, and as I was talking to the team and hanging up, I was actually congratulating them because when we started down this road a couple months back, I said, if we do our job right, we'll get through this with as little pain as possible compared to what some other cities have experienced, then we know we've done our job right. And so I do feel we are at that point where we still have to be diligent. We still have to be respectful. We need to continue to practice CDC guidelines and social distancing. But I think that we are, you know, coming in on the backside. And the important thing is to make sure that we continue to do those, practice those CDC guidelines so that we don't have another rise in the number of cases that get reported.
Right. Diana, we're gonna for sure get into the weeds on some things, as we always do. Specific to what I know are a lot of things on the mind of my listeners in Tucson overall. But how has this pandemic affected projects? How has this shifted the trajectory of your department, at least for the last couple of months?
Well, you know, one of the things that this pandemic has allowed us to explore is, you know, we're piloting a program right now called Slow Streets, where it's over on 4th Avenue north of Speedway. And what that's done is we put some barricades up and we're asking folks to, you know, drive less than 15 miles per hour along the street so that folks can extend their front porch and use the street for playing, for walking, for biking, for exercising, to be able to get out of the house and have that opportunity to practice social distancing. So we've been experimenting with that over the past week. I was really excited. I was able to do a walkthrough with a group of the neighbors. We all had masks and we practiced social distancing, and with Councilman Durham, and we're able to hear some of the stories about how it has made a difference in the use of the road, and the fact that people were being very respectful. They were going 10, 15 miles down. It was really cool. I was able to watch, you know, there were three kids that were out playing soccer in the street. So it's, you know, so that's one of the, you know, big differences that we're seeing is this opportunity to do that. So we're piloting that now. We're going to pilot it to other neighborhoods. And we're doing that because there's a lot of lessons we need to learn. So about appropriate traffic calming practices, barricades we need to put up that emphasize that traffic calming, and we need to get that right. And then this is actually a program we're hoping that we'll be able to, we've applied for a couple of grants to get some more barricades so we can look at doing a more citywide program that we would continue after the pandemic. So this would not be something that we're just doing now. It's something we actually want to think about doing long term. So just, you know, folks are looking at their streets different because we're all, you know, staying home.
Dana, I know that you were midway through some really big projects as we got into the first part of March and things shut down. You've had to go completely virtual in terms of your community outreach and engagement, if not completely, mostly. Are we looking at the future or a future piece of how the public sector engages with citizens? Has virtual outreach expanded your reach, or has it decreased it in concerning ways that you'll be glad to get past?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that question, because actually I think we have found a new tool in the toolbox. We're having some really good successes with our virtual meetings. We actually have a town hall meeting tonight for Move Tucson. So you can actually go on our webpage and find the link and join us on the discussion of Move Tucson. And that is actually at 6 o'clock tonight. But I see us continuing to do some virtual town hall meetings or virtual meetings on program, because we have had great participation, and it's allowing us to reach those audience that maybe when we were having the meetings and they have kids and they can't get away. This will give them the opportunity to tune in and listen, and then, you know, throw in questions or ask questions or have a way to reach out to someone afterwards to get those questions addressed. So I see this as an addition. This, you know, what this virtual world has taught us is that this is another great tool in our toolbox for communication.
I would agree. I think, and I'm sure a lot of people listening would agree, at least in my work, I would not say that we'd stay 100% virtual. I think we've got to have in person, but this is a tool in the toolbox that has made it a whole lot easier for folks who've never engaged with different organizations I'm a part of, who are now regular engagers because they don't have to find babysitters. They don't have to clear out an hour for commuting, blah, 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 blah. So I would agree. I think there's some silver linings, and that's one of them. Dana, let's go to our first break. When we come back, I'd love to get into Move Tucson. And one of my listeners has said something interesting, and that is, and you talk about it a lot, Diana, we're hundreds of millions of dollars behind on just basic maintenance. And I think a lot of people wonder, why are we planning big, expansive ideas when our basics aren't taken care of? Can we do both at the same time? I think you argue we can. I'd love to have that conversation when we come back from the break, and what your role is as a department of both, kind of having one foot in the pothole, one foot on the moon in terms of big ideas for Tucson. Let's go to our first break. We'll come back and we'll get into that with Diana Alarcon. She's the Director of Transportation and Mobility for Tucson. We'll be right back.
How would you like a hand in shaping the future of transportation in Tucson? Well, the city's developing a plan called Move Tucson to identify and prioritize transportation projects over the next 20 years, and we want to hear from you. Head to movetucson.org to share your vision for how to improve Tucson transportation, no matter how you get around. How do you want Tucson to grow? Go to movetucson.org and let us know. Again, that's movetucson.org.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
Tucson, welcome on back. We are spending this entire hour, as we always do, about once every couple months, with the Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility Director, Diana Alarcon. We're talking pandemic affecting projects, fiscal budgets, Move Tucson, Mobility Master Plan, Propositions 101 and 407, and more, as we always do. One of the best parts of my conversation, I always appreciate Diana's openness to do this, is for this to be a community forum to address any questions, concerns, or at least make a note on your behalf if you live within the city of Tucson limits and you have an idea or a concern. This is the time to talk with Diana Alarcon, and we'll get through as many calls as we can. Let's go to line three, Diana, before we get into our Move Tucson conversation. Looks like Roberta is on the line. Roberta, you're on with Diana Alarcon. How are you?
Hi, thank you very much. Well, I like what I heard, that she's reducing speed limits for pedestrians. And I'm just wondering, Diana, if there's been any consideration to reducing the speed limit on Pima, exempting the fire department, of course.
Roberta, thanks for your call in. Yeah, go ahead, Diana.
I have two more questions, if I may.
Roberta, yeah, go ahead.
Well, can we do one at a time?
Sure.
All right. And sorry to interrupt you on that, Zach.
I'm sorry.
One of the tools we have to learn with handling virtual.
That's right.
Yes, one of the things that we are actually looking at doing is, and this is actually something that is driven by Councilman Steve. I call him Steve.
Councilman Steve.
Yeah, Councilman Steve. He's actually asked us to really look at doing a hard push and moving the speed limits down as well. So right now we have to follow state legislation, which has the minimum speed set at 25 miles per hour, but we are working right now on what we need to do to have the conversation, to take it to the state level, to where we would be able to control some of the speed limits, especially in neighborhoods, that would allow us to look at reducing the speed limits down further, so that we can have those safe speeds on the roads to reduce fatalities occurring. So we are looking to do that. Seattle actually did this, and they were successful with it. So we're in conversation with them about the process that they actually went through to be successful with that. And we're hoping that we'll be able to do something like that as well over the next year to improve and reduce some of the speed limits in the city as a whole. So I've made a note that you're interested in Pima. So we'll definitely take a look in that and make sure it's on the table when we're having the overall conversation.
Oh, thank you so much. And Steve Kosacek is my councilman, so I'm glad to hear he's with it. has there been any more consideration of using crushed glass sand into the mixture for road paving?
So, yes, at right now, actually, the councilman is taking bottles and crushing glass up. Our team actually went over this morning and picked up some of the sand that he created from the crushed glass. We take it over and we put it in our yard, and we actually use it as part of our initiative that we have going with both regrading of alleys, because a lot of our alleys are dirt, so we have to grade them. So we actually use that sand as part of our regrading material, as well as for our pothole fill-in. We need a significant amount of sand when we're actually doing huge road construction projects, and not enough is produced, but we're able to actually use what he's producing through our repaving, our regrading project program, and also with our potholing program.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And Steve has mentioned that there are larger glass crushing machines, which might be a consideration in the future to produce a larger amount.
So right now, with what he's producing, it's helping us. It's saving me money from having to buy sand, so I'm very appreciative of that. And it's working well for us on our potholing program. But most of our big road projects, we do not do them in-house. We actually outsource them. So I'm leaving it up to the contractor to actually get what he needs to complete the project.
I've had another idea. I don't know how far it would go, but has there been any consideration to using concrete on short roads with cul-de-sacs where there's little traffic, and then it would not need any more attention for at least 40, 50 years if then?
We are having that as part of our conversation today. You know, one of the challenges I have in front of us is that many of our roads have not been touched for more than 50 years. So they need a complete reconstruct, and that requires a lot of dollars. 77% of our current local roads are actually in failed condition. So we really need to pull up all the asphalt and fix the base and relay the asphalt. That's right now, we have that estimated for what the cost is to redo the roads in the city of Tucson, around $1 billion. And so part of my challenge is I don't have $1 billion. I have some money. So what is the best way to use the dollars we have to get the most done? So we're looking at so many different programs and processes to see if we can utilize that as a tool to be able to touch a lot more of the city than we currently have been in the past. So that is a consideration we're looking at.
I love this. Roberta, thanks for calling in and for your questions. Diana, thank you for your answers. This is, like I said, one of my favorite parts of this hour is I think, as close to a radio town hall hour as we get. And so, Diana, I love that, and I appreciate it. We've got probably 4 minutes or so, and I don't want to get into Move Tucson quite yet and crunch that conversation. But, Diana, you just mentioned budgets and dollars. $1 billion was a heck of a ask before COVID-19. Your department is being asked to consider budgeting models of a 15% cut, at least through the end of the year. Revenues at the state level and the city level are going to be down for a long time to come. Has the money challenge gotten worse, Diana? Has it gotten harder?
It's going to. Right now the revenue numbers actually fall 2 months behind. So we're just getting in the numbers to understand the impact that COVID-19 has had to the highway user fund. But we are anticipating to have about a 9% drop in the remainder of our fiscal year of 20, which ends in June 30th of this year. And we are looking at a 15% decline in revenues potentially over the course of the next year. So we've gone into hiring freeze, which some of those are key positions that we really need to be able to get out there and do the work. And then, you know, the city manager is allowing us to make adjustments in our budget based on the revenue numbers that come in from month to month. Hmm. So I may have to tone something back 1 month and be able to be aggressive about it the next month. So what we're really working to do is try not to take any programs off the table. We know there's going to be some impacts. We've frozen positions, so I do have some savings there that we're applying. And then as we're going from month to month, depending on how the revenue numbers come in, we will actually be making adjustments accordingly then. So it's kind of hard to say, because what we're trying to do is not take anything off the table, because we were already pretty tight and we were getting very efficient in our operations, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to find ways to become more efficient in our operation so we can maximize out the dollars. So we're going to actually be making adjustments on a month-to-month basis that hopefully it won't, you know, have a hard hit or a hard fail. But, you know, if we were to have to take programs off the table, some of the more popular programs such as our Speed Hump program that we had piloted this past year and actually made a recommendation to council for consideration to move forward, that's something that would have to come off the table.
Right.
We would also, we kicked off a sidewalk program this year of working with the community. So if the sidewalk, if a neighbor or a homeowner's sidewalk is broken, they're actually responsible for maintaining it. And what we've done is we have a pilot program that we started this year where we'll partner with that homeowner. We'll come in and we'll actually replace the sidewalk. We'll cover the labor. They only have to pay for material. So it gives them about a 50% saving on the cost of actually installing a sidewalk. And so that would be a program that we'd probably have to rein back on. And that's been actually quite successful. We've been able to get a lot of sidewalks done in this past 3-4 months. Because the homeowners have been taking advantage of that pilot program.
Right.
That may be something we have to pull back on a temporary basis. So we're looking at our programs, and we'll be making the adjustments on those depending on the revenue. So your user highway fund dollars are actually depending on sales tax from gas sales. So everybody, please fill your tank up, but leave your car in the driveway.
Oh, real talk from Diana Alarcon. Diana, you are segueing me perfectly today, all over the place. I don't want to fit in now because we're under a minute before we head to bottom of the hour news. We'll be right back, though, a couple minutes after bottom of the hour. I do want to kick off that next segment, Diana, by asking you about some federal dollars for infrastructure that I heard was on the table. Would love to get an update on any of that that might be available for the city. And then we'll get into Move Tucson. And does Tucson have the opportunity to have one foot in the pothole and one foot on the moon? I've said that in general on the air in the past year on this show, that I think that's what cities get to do. We get to solve real problems today and dream about the future tomorrow. But that's a fun debate I get to have on social media, and I want to get your thoughts on that, Diana, when we come back. Move Tucson Mobility Master Plan, planning the next 20 years of Tucson transportation. We'll be right back, Tucson. Don't go anywhere. You're on 1030 The Voice with Department of Transportation and Mobility Director Diana Alarcon and I here. We'll be right back.
How would you like a hand in shaping the future of transportation in Tucson? Well, the city's developing a plan called Move Tucson to identify and prioritize transportation projects over the next 20 years, and we want to hear from you. Head to movetucson.org to share your vision for how to improve Tucson transportation, no matter how you get around. How do you want Tucson to grow? Go to movetucson.org and let us know. Again, that's movetucson.org.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more. WhyLoveWhereILive.com. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to WhyLoveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
Tucson, welcome on back into Tipping Point here at bottom of the hour of our 9 o'clock hour every day, Monday through Friday, in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, and we are partway through our full one-hour show we do about once every other month with the Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility Director, Diana Alarcon, talking everything City of Tucson transportation. We've talked how pandemic affects projects. We've talked fiscal budgets. I'm going to ask one more money question. Then we're going to get into Move Tucson, the city's mobility master plan. Talk about that. There's two virtual events today. We'll touch on that in just a minute as well. We'll talk Proposition 101 and $407 before we leave. But Diana, you kind of hinted, or we hinted at it together, at the bottom of the hour before the break, there's been discussion that there may be dollars coming in from the federal government that could be used for infrastructure projects. Is that a rumor at this point? Is there anything to that? And if so, where are we on it?
So it's a rumor, but there has been great conversation by Congress in D.C. about putting together an infrastructure funding program that will allow some jobs, quick creation of jobs. So I'm thinking the way it's going to come down is it has to be projects that are what we consider shovel ready. So they've already been designed. So we're at 100% design. And it's a matter of just moving it into construction. And we have quite a few projects that we actually already have 100% design that we would be able to put on the table. So we have put together a list that we would be able to move forward if this was successful to get some dollars to come down, that we would be able to take and then actually move those projects forward quickly and get them done. So we're really hopeful that that Congress will do it. We're watching this. We're working very closely with our intergovernmental director, who acts as our liaison between the elected officials in D.C. and at the state level, who will be ready to lobby for us to get those dollars here in Tucson to allow us to move some of those projects forward. And we do have included on that is the first two-year program of our road repaving plan. So we've included that as well because we want to make sure. So, again, the dollars will be coming down. They'll be looking for you to be in construction probably in the first 6 to 9 months and have the dollars spent within the first probably 24 to 36 months. So it's not something where we'd have time to plan and then design and then go build. It's going to have to be something that's currently already designed. Maybe we just don't have enough funding to get it done. And we have a lot of projects that we've been working on and planned and ready to go that we would be able to knock out and get done and spend those dollars. And then that would allow us to free up maybe some dollars to continue to use for road repaving projects or for other projects and initiatives that the city would like.
Right. That's the part B, right, is if you can use dollars for shovel ready, you can move existing dollars over to continuing projects. Again, Diana, not holding you to a number. I know it's a rumor at this point. Ballpark on what kind of dollars we're looking at. Do you have a range of the big if we're talking about, if Congress releases those dollars locally, do you have a dollar amount that you're advocating for?
Well, I'd like $1 billion. So that's what I'm advocating for. But no, I don't. It's kind of hard to say. They typically will provide those dollars based on population and initiative. But our list is pretty extensive. So we include some projects that we currently have, again, we have in design, but maybe we're short funded. So we've included that. We've included, our 2-year reconstruction plan for local roads. We've included our adaptive signalization program on that. We've also included some of our greenway initiatives and our bicycle improvements. So we've actually have a pretty exhausted list. And that's just my department, but other departments are doing it as well because there's also a need in water. There's a need in parks. There's a need over in environmental services. So it doesn't have to be just tied to transportation.
you know, there these dollars can be used, you know, throughout on that infrastructure improvement. So how we all connect to that, I think, is really important. So
right.
The directors are having that conversation to make sure that we're maximizing out whatever, if this does come to life, that we are all maximizing out those dollars and making sure we get them spent to advance those initiatives forward and allowing us to, you know, push our dollars to other projects that we're probably otherwise would not have had the opportunity to get done.
When we talk about transportation infrastructure, and I mean, these dollars aren't just because they're good guys and they like Tucson. These are stimulus, would be stimulus dollars, as I'm aware. Again, we're talking a big if here, but how does that level of investment from the federal government into transportation infrastructure projects, how does that create stimulus? What's the economic impact of that in your mind?
Well, I think it creates a lot of jobs. So for one thing, it's going to allow us to move construction projects forward. So that's a lot of workforce that's going to have jobs. But it's not just the folks out there that are, you know, doing the infrastructure. It's also the behind the scenes. So it's the materials. It's the stuff that comes from the plants. It's buying the steel or the concrete, whatever it is. So there's a list. It goes down that. So it's just not, you know, pretty pavement on the road. Mm-hmm. If it was that type of a project, it's everything that goes into it, because we look at adding lighting. We look at adding fiber infrastructure. We look at all of that. So it's a lot of different avenues that it touches when you do these types of projects. So it creates an enormous amount of jobs, and it just, you know, it keeps moving down the row, and every pun intended with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does create a lot of jobs other than the folks you just see out there on the street doing the work, mm-hmm. because there's the materials, mm-hmm. there's the equipment, there's all of that you have to have in order to successful to get it done.
And here's the beautiful part, Diana, right, is once you employ people to do that, that's money in their pockets that they go and buy goods and services within Tucson, which are sales
Correct.
Tax revenue dollars that go into the general fund, which, guess what? Keep repaving roads and keeping things up. It's a beautiful system when it works, isn't it?
It is, and it works really well. See, I even left off the benefits that come out of putting those people to work, and you're absolutely correct.
Right.
It does rejuvenate the economy, and we saw a lot of success with that as we were coming out of the recession.
Mm.
They put out the state of good repair. There were a lot of dollars that came out through the federal government for shovel-ready projects, and that really kind of helped do a kickstart to the economy again.
Mm-hmm. Huge. Diana, I'm going to call a bit of an audible and move something up so we can spend the whole last segment. I'm hoping to do 12 or 13 minutes with you on Move Tucson, because I think this is important and I want to talk about it. Proposition 101 and 407, these are committed dollars, correct, in how they were structured, meaning we're not at risk of losing dollars or projects from those propositions that have been voted on by the Tucson voters, right?
Well, they are generated by sales tax. So if there is a drop in sales tax, we might have to make an adjustment in what we can and can't do. So right now, I will tell you, with Prop 101, we had some money in the bank, and we were hoping that at the end of Prop 101, we'd have money in the bank that we'd be able to add projects. But we are anticipating a drop in some of the sales tax dollars, so that money in the bank will actually be used to make sure that we keep the projects on task. The same thing with Prop 407. So there are anticipated dollars of what we would be able to generate. We are just going to start collecting those sales tax dollars coming up here. You know, council and the mayor approved to actually move dollars, advance dollars forward so that we could start design. So when the dollars from the sales tax started coming in, we could move directly into construction.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, when you start hitting this type of economic situation, you know, oil prices have dropped dramatically. Well, oil is used to do a lot of our road projects. So we're going to see a drop in the cost to do things. So if we have a drop in sales tax, we're also going to see a drop in the cost of the construction project.
Mm.
So they kind of balance each other. So we're not anticipating, and we're fingers crossed that we'll continue to push every project forward, be successful with it, be able to meet the intent and what the voters had approved. So we're not anticipating anything at this point. And it is hopeful as the economy actually, builds, we are expecting to see that sales tax grow, that we would actually, where we may have a shortfall in the beginning, over the period of time that we're doing these initiatives, we're going to see a growth in the sales tax dollars that will be able to do it. And we saw that in 101, and we were, you know, and that's why I'm very comfortable with making that we'll be able to complete all of our 10 projects. And actually right now we're going to be out. We've actually are currently in the process in Prop 101 of doing fox sealing on those projects that were tied to Prop 409. So again, keeping our good roads good. It's very important. You know, one of the things, you can build these roads, but you need to be maintaining them. And that's something in the past we weren't very successful with, but Prop 101, we built in dollars to go back and actually do that maintenance work we should on Prop 409 so we can keep the good roads good. So we're currently doing that right now, and that's pretty exciting because that is something we haven't had the ability to do in the past.
Mm-hmm. And Diana, I was so excited to get your thoughts on those. I jumped in without briefly explaining what they were. 101, of course, is the 5-year half cent sales tax that was passed in 2017. Actually, 2 days from now will be the 3-year anniversary. And it was $250 million, if I have that right. $100 million, as you said, is earmarked to be used to restore, repair, and resurface city streets over that 5-year period. And then in 2018, Proposition 407 was passed in Tucson. That's the Parks and Connections bond, and that's a $225 million bond package for improvements around city parks and pedestrian and bicycle pathways as well. And so those were the two propositions that I was just asking you about, Diana, and it sounds like you're hopeful, and we have every expectation that we'll be able to move forward with those as planned.
We are at this time.
All right. Simple, straightforward answer. And if anything changes, the good news is we'll have you back in a couple months to give us an update, Diana. This ended how I hoped. I'd love to go to our last break, and we've left plenty of time to talk Move Tucson, Delivering Mobility Choices, Tucson's Mobility Master Plan, shaping the next decades of Tucson transportation today. I want to get into that a little bit to close out our hour with Tucson Department of Transportation Director Diana Alarcon on Tipping Point today. We'll be right back, Tucson. Lots to go. Don't go anywhere.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
Vantage West Credit Union proudly stands with the communities we serve during these unprecedented and trying times. It's in these moments where strong communities thrive by working together. We are proud to live in a place where we help each other, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We will emerge more connected and more prosperous than ever before. Vantage West has been here since 1955. We're here now, and we will get through this together. Vantage West Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
Tucson, welcome on back to the program. We've got about 10 minutes left with Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility director, Diana Alarcon, my guest this whole hour for our 9 o'clock show today. We've talked how pandemic affects projects, fiscal budgets. We talked a lot of dollars and budgets today. Move Tucson is our upcoming topic. And we talked Proposition 101 and 407 as well in the last segment. Diana, I want to kick it off by getting your thoughts on something that I hear out there. And that is, as you said, we need $1 billion. If we had $1 billion today, we could fix all of our roads and hopefully keep them also maintained as well. Shouldn't that be the next 20-year initiative for Tucson? Some would say, why are we planning big things for Tucson transportation when we haven't been able to keep up the things that we have? I'm sure you hear that too, Diana, out there. And I'm curious, before we get into Move Tucson, which I think is an amazing initiative, and you guys have done an incredible job with it. I have to say, it's a beautiful product. What would you say to that as we think about the future of transportation in Tucson?
Well, I think there is opportunities to do both at the same time. And I think this is us being very responsible with taxpayer dollars that we receive. So what Move Tucson will do is kind of share with us what the community would like as far as transportation initiatives. And as we redo roads, we'll be able to design to meet that expectation. So right now we go in and we touch a road, but we really don't know what the community wants on that road. And so if the community wants to add sidewalks and I'm not aware of it, which is what Move Tucson will tell us, then we'll design that new road to include sidewalks. If the community wants to have bike lanes, we'll go in, and when we're actually going in and repaving that road, we'll design that road to include bike lanes. So what Move Tucson is going to tell me from the community is what they would like as far as transportation initiatives. So when we actually go and do the reconstruction of these roadways that we're going to spend the next 20 years doing, and we need to do, we're going to be able to apply those transportation initiatives as part of the design and get it all done. So Move Tucson is actually kind of my roadmap of making sure I build what the community wants. And then where we have those dollars actually applied, we'll be able to make the design happen to that improvement that we're making. And right now, I don't know that. Right now, we kind of go in blind when we're doing a road reconstruction project. We're designing it back the same way it was. So Move Tucson is really going to be a great tool for us to help us give this community what they would like to have. And that goes also to the conversation. It's not just about bike lanes or sidewalks. It's also about, where do we want to have those roads that move cars? Because where the community decides that they're going to put a car and that's where they want the cars to be, my focus needs to be on moving the car, not putting bike lanes or sidewalks. It needs to be on creating a very safe road that can move cars in a safe manner so that we're not creating crashes, but we're giving people that exercise as well, or that opportunity to move from A to B at what they feel is a good speed and a safe speed. And so it's allowing us to look at everything from that through that lens versus us just making the assumption as staff that this is what we did, what we need to do, or this is what we are going to do because it's what we had. So I feel Move Tucson is so important to really be effective and efficient with the taxpayer dollars as we move forward. Because, as I tell my team, when you're building the road, build it so it's going to last 50 years and build it so you're giving the community what they want over the next 50 years. Because the likelihood of going back and touching a road after we put it in is slim to none.
Right.
Because we can't afford it. So let's get it right the first time.
Wow.
And so that's what Move Tucson does for us. It gives us that information so we can be designing accordingly for the next 20 years of what this community wants from a transportation perspective.
We're talking about Move Tucson over at movetucson.org, has its own special website. There's an online survey to tell Diana about your priorities for Tucson's transportation system. There's an interactive map. I got to say, Diana, and I hope it's okay that I say this, it's rare that we've seen this kind of technological creativity from government in our region in a long time. And I'm saying that to praise your efforts, Diana, and this is genuine. Go check out the interactive map, movetucson.org, where you can go and list out what you want to see and where challenging areas are currently, and then events. And I don't want to skip over the fact that there's two virtual town halls today where you can either phone in or you can watch the event and get the down low on how to use this map and how to give Diana the feedback that Diana and her team needs to make good choices. In light of Move Tucson in the future, Diana, maybe we can close this way. I think it's a really relevant way. How is transportation and infrastructure planning going to change in light of COVID-19? Has COVID-19 changed the future of transportation infrastructure in Tucson? We've got about 4.5 minutes, so let's maybe close on that. But I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
So I think the conversation is going to be very interesting, because now when I'm talking to folks, it's like, well, how many people actually need to go back to work? They can work from home. And so, you know, and then the other side of the conversation is, you know, more people are going to be travel, single vehicle occupancy is actually going to be on the rise. But then I have conversations with my colleagues throughout the country, and they're saying to me, actually, people are now looking and businesses are looking to downsize because they found telecommuting does work. So there's two things to that. So I think as a community, we're going to see this split in people showing up in the office and people working from home, because we know it's successful because it's what we've all been living for the past 2 months. So I think we're going to have that dynamic, and how will that affect transportation infrastructure? And that's an ongoing conversation, and it's a very interesting one. But the other part of it is making sure we can all communicate when we're at home. So fiber in the ground is going to become such an essential part, yes, important part of our communication. And so fiber in the ground not only allows for you to communicate through your computers, but it also is what we will use for our traffic signalization and our improvement. So right now, a lot of your telecommunication companies are looking to really advance forward to 5G so that we have efficient networking ability at our home. But what that efficient networking does is it allows me to think differently about the movement on the roads. So now I'm like having the conversation about advancing, you know, that autonomous conversation, the connected cars, using our phones so that we can actually tag, you know, the pedestrian to the cars so we can prevent crashes. So there's some, you know, this is moving us into a whole new area of technology that's going to allow us to put those designs in place to create safe roads for all use. And I'm really getting excited about that. So this telecommuting and the need to really understand that as a community, we need to be at 5G, but that 5G is going to allow us better communication from a safety aspect, not just from preventing crashes and providing, you know, that safety, but also for our first responders. It's going to provide them a great tool, mm-hmm, to be more efficient in getting to a call that they just received. So I'm really excited about that infrastructure, and I'm excited about the conversation that we're going to have about what COVID-19 has done, about what transportation infrastructure should look like.
Diana, I've got about a minute and a half, but I really want to fit this in if I can. Public transportation, short-term changes, long-term changes, any thoughts on that real quick as we head out?
So we've seen a major decline in the drop in ridership. We are anticipating as things open up that we'll see an increase. So we are going to be asking folks to continue the social distancing. We're going to continue to take good care of cleaning and defogging and sanitizing down the buses. We've started a program with cleaning the shelters extra to have them cared for as well to prevent the spread of the COVID-19. And we are going to look at where we have those opportunities to improve the transportation, the transit system, to provide better service and also better ridership. So we're really excited. Again, this has taught us a lot of things. So we're applying that technology so that we can, and what we've learned, to how we're actually operating public transportation.
Diana Alarcon, thank you so much for your time with us this whole hour. We do this once every month or so. Again, movetucson.org, folks. This is how you can go and let Diana know exactly what you want to see on Tucson's streets. Diana, stay safe, stay healthy. Thanks for all your work. We appreciate you each and every time we get to do this together.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well. MoveTucson.org, an event at noon and at 6 tonight, by the way. Don't forget, you can go and watch that. ASU President Michael Crow is my guest tomorrow. Workforce Pivots with Devin Underwood after that. Full day, so join us 9 a.m. on Friday. Take care, Tucson.